You know, folks, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. And one of the interesting things in any of the Gospels is that you come across Jesus interacting with demons. Spiritual forces of wickedness. Spiritual forces of darkness. And when you read these stories, it's almost amazing. There really isn't any kind of competition there. He comes in conflict with them, they scream, they yell, they acknowledge who he is, they beg, and then he deals with them. And what you see is that, and we're going to see that today in a passage that's very familiar, all of the Gospels talk about this, and that is where Jesus confronts demonic forces. In particular, in Luke and Mark, we know that the name of the individual's name is Legion. Here, Matthew tells us there were actually two individuals there, and he has this confrontation, and there's something that we can learn from it. And what we can learn from it is that Jesus has power over spiritual forces of darkness. Now, here's the problem. We read these stories, and they intrigue us, and we're like, wow, look at how powerful Jesus is. But for the most part, can I be honest with you? We're actually spiritually blind. We're suffering from a blindness. What do you mean blind, George? I can see. I understand. No. There is a dimension to your life that you're blind to. In fact, if you have your bulletin, you can fill this out here. I'm going to point out two things to this. We operate with an ignorance to the spiritual world around us. See, you and I operate in this dimension, in this world, in a world that we can see, a world that we can touch, a world that we can smell, a world that we can hear or see. That's the world we operate in. In fact, that's the world that we are in tune to every day of our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there is another world that's out there, a world that you don't see. A world that you can't physically see, but a world that maybe you can see the effects of. It's a world that you can sense, because some of you sometimes maybe are in conflict with these things, and they do affect you. But for the most part, we don't think of it as being this other spiritual world that it's around us. And the fact of the matter is, folks, you are in that spiritual world. I think one of the most interesting stories comes from 2 Kings, has to do with the prophet Elijah and his servant. They were facing the reality of being oppressed by an army coming against them. And the servant of Elisha is really, really, really concerned they're going to die. But the prophet is pretty calm. And the prophet prays a prayer and says, basically, for God to open the eyes of his servant so he could see what's actually going on. And there in the hills, he sees the chariots of thousands of angels ready to protect the prophet. So the army that's coming against him is almost nothing. See, that's just a story from the Old Testament to tell you that really around us today, there is something there that you don't know, that you can't sense. It's a spiritual world. Here's the second thing I want you to see about our blindness. That ignorance is fertile ground for interaction with darkness. That ignorance, because we don't comprehend the spiritual world around us. That ignorance is fertile ground. It's an opportunity, whether you realize it or not, for your interaction with the world of darkness around you. What do you mean, George? Well, I'll just be flat out honest with you. I don't watch TV very much at all. But when I'm out traveling, sometimes, you know, I'm flicking through trying to find a station to watch news or something, or Swamp People watching alligators being killed. sometimes you come across a show, and I'm struck by, because television has changed so much from when I used to watch TV a lot. We live in a world of spiritism. Did you understand what I mean by that? It's like when I go to the Y, and if I go on the treadmill, they got all the TVs up, and there's a show there that's got three witches or something, and that are in a world of demons and spirits and all this stuff. And everybody's like, that's a cool thing to watch. Well, here's what it is. It gives you a misperception of the world around you. It gives you a misperception of what you can be involved in. And what happens is that because we are so ignorant to the reality of the spiritual world around us and how it operates and what is real there, you can open yourself up to darkness. So people think it's okay to look and check what their horoscope is. Really? You can get your cards read or your palm read. And you don't realize, oh, it's just something, it's just trivial, George, it's just trivial. Oh yeah, it seems that way. But there is a greater spiritual reality to things. And when you get involved in stuff, you open yourself up to a greater, darker reality. And we're going to talk about that as we get into this passage, because what we're going to see is two individuals that are an extreme. And we're going to see Jesus interacting with them. But then we're also going to see the rejection of Jesus. So let's look at this together. We're going to look at verses 28 to 34. Now let me just stop for a moment. Before I read, I gotta help you out here. Okay, George, what are you getting into, man? Is this going to be scary stuff? No. My approach is going to be hopefully balanced. Why? Because there's two extremes when we talk about spiritual forces. The first extreme is the extreme where you see a demon under every rock. There's the demon of cigarettes, and there's the demon of this, and a demon of that. Okay? First of all, I don't see anything like that in the Bible. I want to be biblically centered in what I present. Okay? So that's one extreme. The other extreme is we don't talk about it at all. We're not going to acknowledge it. We're not going to be. That's the other extreme. Now, here's the thing. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian philosopher, once said that Satan would rather us be in one or the other camp. He'd rather us be where we're freaked out by everything or we're ignoring everything. But where we need to be is balance. So what we're going to do is look at a balance here today and ask you to look at your life and see, is your ignorance opening yourself up to something? So let's look at it together. Look with me, again, Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Look at what the apostle writes. When he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesenes, there he met two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from them was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Wow, what an amazing story. And listen, it's not just an amazing story. What an amazing reaction. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take these verses. We're going to really divide them into three sections here. We're going to see, first of all, angry men. We're going to see angry men. Those are the two demon-possessed guys. We're going to see the power of Jesus. Here's what you need to understand. You don't need to be fearful. You need to understand the power of Jesus. And then we're going to see the rejection. We're going to look at rejection. So let's talk about angry men. Look with me just at verse 28. It's very interesting. First of all, here's Jesus. He was in Galilee, over near Capernaum. He had just given the Sermon on the Mount. He's got multitudes following him. He's healed many. He gets into a boat. His disciples follow him, and they go over the lake, the Sea of Galilee, which is this big lake. They go over the lake to the other side, which happens to be an area that is a Gentile area. It's an area dominated by 10 cities. They're called, known as the Decapolis. It's not a Jewish area. It's an area dominated by Gentile people. And he goes over to this area near one of the cities, and as they come ashore, they are confronted by two men coming out of the hillside, out of the tombs, who are very fierce and violent. In that region, what they would do is because land is precious, and any land that could be cultivated, they cultivated. And what they would do is when they would bury you in a hillside. And what would happen is people would dig out tombs with many rooms in the tombs. And so sometimes the tombs would be open. They would lay the bodies in there. And this would be a prime place where you have some gentlemen who were possessed to live. But these men are not just possessed, they're angry. And we can see a couple things here about these men that I think will help us to understand what's going on here. First of all, these men were marked by extreme anger and isolation. These men were marked by extreme anger and isolation. Here, I'm going to tell you one thing right off the bat. What you're going to see is this. Darkness thrives in an area of anger in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Spiritual darkness thrives in anger. Spiritual darkness, if you want to write this down, spiritual darkness doesn't just thrive in anger. Spiritual darkness thrives in isolation. Two things there. What happens is when you see people, they're opening themselves up to something. It's usually sometimes in the area of anger. We'll look at a scripture that talks about that in a moment. But you also see it in when they begin to isolate themselves from who? Other people. And so what you have happening here is here's two guys who are demon-possessed. They are fierce. What is it? They're angry. They're upset. They're hurt. And two guys who have basically separated themselves from the rest of those Gentile peoples, and they're living in these tombs. That's extreme isolation. One of the other Gospels, I think it's Mark, tells us that one of them, Legion, because he only deals with one of them, Legion, was actually, are you ready for this, cutting himself. We understand cutting, right? Because that's a phenomenon that's happening among our teenagers, and even among some adults. It goes all the way back to Bible times. And what it is basically a release from the pain and the anger that's going on in their lives. These men are angry men. They're marked by extreme anger and isolation. Here's the second thing I want you to see about them. At some point, they open their lives to spiritual darkness. At some point, they open their lives to spiritual darkness. At some point in their life, do you understand? You just don't get demon possessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just don't have demons enter into your life. You have to allow demons to enter into your life. And whether it was through anger or through other things, whether it was involvement with the occult, or occult-like practices, seances. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that people are getting involved in today that have no clue. Whether it's through illicit sex, somehow they have allowed themselves to, at some point, to open their lives to spiritual darkness. That's what's going on there. And so they were possessed. Now you're hearing, you're saying, well, you know, George, glad I'm a Christian. Glad I'm a Christian because I can't be possessed. You're right. If you're a Christian and you know the Lord Jesus, you can't be possessed by a demon. Why? Because you have who inside of you? The Holy Spirit. He indwells you. He shares with no one. But my friends, here's the thing about a Christian. You may not be possessed, but you can be, are you ready for this? Oppressed. Oppressed. You can allow the spiritual forces of darkness to have a foothold in your life. What do you mean, George? Well, listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. He makes this statement, chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. If you want to write this down, you can go back and look at it yourself. He says, be angry and sin not. Okay, let's stop for a moment. First of all, anger is natural. So if you get angry, don't think it's unnatural. Anger is natural. It's what you do with it. You understand what I'm saying? It's what you do with it. I have a friend who's written a couple books on anger. He's a Christian counselor. And he says that anger is when your value system is reproached. When somebody goes against your value system, anger is going to happen. Because what you hold dear to is reproached. Somebody has gone against it. And so you're angry about that. So that's why Jesus was angry when he went into the temple. But it's what you do with it. Here it's saying, listen to what Paul's saying. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't brood over it, Paul's saying. Don't sit there and get bitter about it. Deal with your anger. Why? Here's the second thing he says there. Nor give place to the devil. What's he saying here? Here you are. I'll give you an example of what's going on. Here George is. I get angry. You get angry. But if I don't deal with my anger, if I bury it, because some of us do that, right? We don't deal with the issues. We bury the anger. And we think if we bury it, that's okay, folks. It always comes back out. Have you noticed that? Always comes back out. So you bury the anger. You become embittered. Here's what Paul's saying. Through that anger and through that bitterness, what you do then is you begin to open your life so that there is an area of your life that becomes controlled by who? Satan. He doesn't have to possess you. In fact, here's what he has to do. He doesn't have to possess you. Why? Because if you want to write this down, I sometimes say this. Satan is the biggest button pusher in your life. You know what I'm talking about? You ever met somebody at work? Oh, I know how to push their button. What do they mean by that? I know how to get a reaction from them. Satan knows because he observes us. He watches us. His demons watch us all the time. They know what buttons to push in your life. And they know that when you're angry and you're bitter to someone, they know what buttons to push. And trust me, they do. Because here you go. You're going down the road. Something's happened. You're angry at somebody because they hurt you. You're embittered towards them. And you're riding down the road. And just the little thing sparks a memory of that person. Do you know what I'm saying? You just hear their first name on the radio and you're like, I can't believe they did that to me. Or you hear a song. And for some reason, every station you turn to has got the same song on. And that same song is the one that you remember because it's from the time of when that incident happened that you're angry about. Tell me he doesn't know how to push the buttons in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, there's been times, I've been married now to Lori almost 23 years now, and there have been times of, we've had intimate fellowship, but there's been times of intense fellowship. Do you know what I mean by that? Where we've argued, and there's been times where after arguing, it's like, what are we arguing about? I don't know. We realize that there's something dark there. Did you understand what I'm saying? It's real. See, at some point, these guys opened their lives to darkness. Could have been anger. Could have been their involvement in stuff, because they do live in a pagan culture. But they opened their lives to spiritual darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it only amplified the anger. It only amplified the isolation. And it only brought torment to their lives that they could find no relief from. Do you understand what I'm saying? Spiritual darkness, when it interacts with your life, brings feelings of helplessness, brings feelings of not having any kind of relief. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't get out of this cycle. I can't get out of this behavior. I can't get out of what's going on in my life. Because here's what spiritual darkness does. It operates on your fears. It operates on your fears. So here they are. They come and they see Jesus. And look at, it's almost amazing. Verse 29. Look at what happens there. Verse 29. When he had, and suddenly they cried out saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus? You Son of God, have you come here to torment us before the time?" Here's the first thing that happens. These are the demons speaking through these individuals. They recognize who Jesus is. Now notice something. They identify who Jesus is. This is the first time in this gospel that Jesus is identified as the